Let us pray. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Most people have experienced a smell that floods the mind with arresting memories of a person, place, or event. And our sense of smell relates closely to how we experience life and process significant memories. In the article Perfume, The Story of a Murderer, Patrick Soskin comments that odors have a power of persuasion stronger than that of words, appearances, emotions, or will. The persuasive power of an odor cannot be fended off. It enters into us like breath into our lungs. It fills us up, imbues us totally. There is no remedy for it. I've had foul, and personally, I have had foul odors from a rubbish bin literally stop me in my tracks because the conjured sights and sounds I experienced during my years in Cameroon in several industrial and other areas. And I'm sure you too, you can think of the impact of smell in your lives at some point. So this morning we come to an odor or a smell which filled the house with a beautiful fragrance, the perfume poured out on Jesus by Mary. And we are told in that text by John the Apostle that the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, what is the context? After raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus knew that the threat to his own life was serious. He therefore went over to the region north of Jerusalem near Bethel. However, as the Passover approached, he returned to Bethany and remained with the family of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. The family at this time would have been living with a keen sense of fear and dreading the tragedy of Jesus' arrest that seemed to lie on the near horizon. So Mary, more than any other body at that time, felt the weight of these momentous days. Probably why, during a meal hosted by Martha, Mary decided to anoint Jesus with costly ointment. When that happened, we are told, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But then Judas was unimpressive about the gesture, referring to Mary's action as sheer waste. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. And Jesus silenced him by saying that money could be given to the poor at any time, but a kindness done to him must be done now, for soon the chance would be gone forever. He was talking about his death. There is much in this text, but I want to concentrate on the character of Mary for our reflection this morning. But first, let us look at that of Martha. She was serving at table. Martha loved Jesus. She was a practical woman, and the only way in which she could show her love was by the work of her hands. And so Martha always gave what she could. And I'm sure, friends, that there are many people who have become great because of someone's loving care for them. So it is just as possible to serve Jesus in the kitchen as on the public platform or in a career lived in the eyes of people wherever we work. But then secondly, we come to the character of Mary. Mary was the one who above all expressed so much love for Jesus And here in her action, we see at least three things about love. First, we see the extravagance of love. Mary took the most precious thing she possessed and spent it all on Jesus. Love is not love if it is nicely calculated or if it nicely calculates its cost. Love gives its all, and its only regret is that it has not still more to give. Real love cannot think of any other way to give. And Mary has truly understood both the trajectory of Jesus' special vocation and the very nature of God. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. So the extravagance of her act mirrors the extravagance of God's love. We got a glimpse of that extravagance last week in the story of the prodigal son. We see it again today. Here is a God who does not know when to stop loving his children. Here is a God whose love knows no limits. The pouring out of Jesus' own life later that same week for the sins of the whole world will also be an extravagant act of love. What kind of love is this? This is the love that pours itself out. Secondly, we see the unself-consciousness of love. Mary wiped Jesus' feet with the hair of her head. In Palestine, no responsible woman would ever appear in public with her hair unbound. On the day a girl was married, her hair was bound up, and never again would she be seen in public with her long tresses flowing loose. What Mary did would have qualified her for an immoral woman. But Mary never even thought of that. Why? Because when two people really love each other, they live in a world of their own. They will wander slowly down a crowded street, hand in hand, heedless of what other people think. And this is how we should relate to God. Unashamed to profess Christ crucified, death and reason, because Jesus says, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of his angels. Yet many Christians are self-conscious about showing their Christianity. They are concerned always about what others are thinking about them. Mary loved so much that it was nothing to her what others thought. Friends, our text encourages us to honor Jesus in extravagant ways. Maybe by serving the congregation or community in some ways, in the food banks, coffee mornings, or at Manna Cafe, as some of you are already doing. And perhaps by giving massive donations to the poor to salvage some of their needs. It also warns us against mistaking discipline for discipleship. It embraces affection as part of a devotion to Jesus that is nothing less than costly, precious gift of one's whole self to every last strand of hair. But there is something else about love in the text, and that is my title, which John records. The house was filled with the fragrance of the ointment. Many scholars have taken this to mean that the whole church was filled with the sweet memory of Mary's action. And what this signifies is that the presence of a generous man or woman in a home or elsewhere spreads joy, friendship, and laughter. A lovely deed becomes the possession of the whole world and adds to the beauty of life in general, something which time can never take away. There are some women who embody in their lives and character an atmosphere of heaven which everybody feels. Unobtrusive, quiet, meek, no stare, seeming to do very little, and yet in some way everything is done. There is nothing remarkable about their houses, yet everyone is at home there. There is nothing special about their conversation, but it helps those who hear it. It is the presence of the Master shining through them. And no woman can make herself such as this. It is God only who can conform us to the image of his Son. But every Christian woman can yield herself to Christ that the house where she dwells may be filled with the odor of the ointment with which she is anointing Jesus all day long in her actions as her king and her priest, the one to whom she refers, the one whom she obeys, the one whom she honors. And we can achieve this through constant communication with God in prayer. So most houses have the atmosphere either of Mary, Martha, or of Judas. Some are willing to serve tables. Others just pour out their unreserved love, and yet still others have so much self-interest like Judas. Some are full of hurry, pressure, bustle. Others are full of rest and quiet power. How I long for our God to raise up amongst us many a Mary who shall sit at his feet and be unto God a sweet savour of Christ as they faithfully serve the church and the world. As we prepare to observe Christ's coming, passion, and death, we might ask ourselves several questions. What kinds of service God requires of us? Where have we been stingy, where God has been extravagant? How do we use what God has so generously given us in ways that are truly acts of devotion as well as service? Have we worried too much about holding on to the things that are precious to us? Have we withheld those gifts that might have given both God and us true pleasure in the giving? The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Let your fragrance too, or let your ointment too, fill the house with sweet smell so that people may enjoy your presence and the presence of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks because you have spoken to us through the message of your holy word. We ask that you may continue, O Father, to bless us, that we be a people willing to empty out ourselves for you, to give not only ourselves, but also our resources for your work and for the building of your kingdom. Bless our lives and bless all those around us and even far away from us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.